Hello again, listeners, and a very warm welcome to a special collaboration podcast between That Was a Goal, The Football Sack, and Backpage Football. We're here to preview the 2011-2012 A-League season. I'm joined in the studio by my colleague from That Was a Goal, Newton. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Good to
Fantastic.
See you.
Fantastic. Also in the studio with us is Neil Sherwin, the co-editor of BackpageFootball.com. Neil, how are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, thanks, yeah.
And on the line, we've got Jack Quigley, who's the presenter on the Football Sack podcast. Jack, great to have you on the line, mate.
Pleasure to be here, boys.
All right, guys, let's jump straight into things, and we'll start. We're going to go through the teams one by one and what we think will happen throughout the season, where they might finish, who they've lost, who they've gained, and any other significant things we think will happen throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
And we'll start with the champions, the Brisbane Roar, guys.
Cool.
And the champions last year, no side has ever won back-to-back A-League titles, guys. Do you see that changing throughout the season?
I don't think they will. I think that they've lost too many key players. Matt McKay, obviously, being the skipper, is a massive loss. Barbarossa's goals last season were vital. And when you lose players of that capability, and Solorzano as well, you take a lot out of the team, out of the spine of the team. They've still got some very good players, but you know, if you throw in Luke Devere as another player who's left, you really are struggling to replace what was an excellent team last season. So I think they'll be there or thereabouts, but to reach the highs of last season, it's a step beyond them for me.
Yeah, I mean, losing McKay, massive, but Broich is still there. Broich is pretty good. I rate Broich. And Kofi Danning came in, so that's, you know, decent replacement. Well, not really replacement. Oh, for Barbarossa, maybe. You know, they're kind of similar, pacey little players, and you know, we'll see.
Jack, you're on the Gold Coast, of course, so you'd have a pretty good understanding of the Brisbane Roar and what might happen for them this season. How do you see it going for them?
Look, I sort of agree with Neil. I think that, you know, whilst they are the champions and they are the team to beat, I don't think they'll be as strong as last year. They certainly won't be as imposing. They have lost a lot of key players. Matt McKay is the main one, but Solorzano is a big loss as well. And I think Costa Barbarossa, he was a bit of an unsung hero last year. Didn't get the press that I thought he deserved. Played really well on a lot of occasions. And he's a big loss as well. I think they'll be up there, and they'll be playing finals football, of course. I wouldn't anticipate them to finish the regular season at the top of the ladder, though.
Just looking, Ange Postecoglou, of course, his philosophy last season, Neil, in particular, he had that talent at his disposal. Now that a lot of it's gone, what sort of changes do you think he'll have to readjust to try and make sure Brisbane are there again come the end of the year?
Well, he's still got Broich, who's the creative influence. So when you've got somebody of that ability, you've got something to work with and to start with. It's up front, really, that for me that there's problems. As you said, they've lost a lot of goals. Now, Broich can work his magic in midfield all he wants, but if he hasn't got people at the on the end of his crosses or through balls, well, you're going to struggle for goals. And at the back, they're still solid. Shane Stefanuto had a great season last year. Teoklatos was fantastic. Matt Smith has taken over the captaincy, and the likes of Ivan Franić. So I think the back four or five will be pretty similar to what it was last year. You won't see too many changes there. It all depends on just how those new strikers can fit in with Broich, and if they can click quickly, because if they don't, you could see Brisbane struggle in the first couple of weeks and be playing catch-up.
Jack, we know that the Brisbane Roar also have to contend with the Asian Champions League earlier in 2012 when that kicks off. How do you think? Do you think they'll have the depth to be able to cope with that competition as well?
I don't think so. I'd love to say yes. I think it'd be great to see them, and I think that Suncorp on a—I was going to say European night then, but I'll change that and say Asian night would be a fantastic sight. But look, I think that they've just lost too many, you know, really good quality players. And look, I'm not saying that the players they've brought in, Danning, Berisha, Farhan, are all not up to it, but they're going to take time to settle and gel. And you know, preseason form is preseason form, but it's been a bit patchy. I think that they'll do extremely well to go a long way in the season and finish at the top of the table, and then take on a Champions League run on top of that and do well in that as well.
All right, guys, now that we've looked at it in depth, a ladder prediction for the Brisbane Roar, exactly where you think they will finish on the table. We'll start with Neil.
I've gone with fourth.
Newton?
I'm going to go with third. I think the way they play kind of you know, it's a good system, and I think it can make, you know, lesser players actually look a bit better, to be honest. I think that losing some players, some might step up. We'll have to wait and see, but I think third.
And Jack, where do you think the Brisbane Roar will finish exactly this season?
Well, I want to say third as well, and I think that, you know, if they can pick up, you know, crucial points on the road, perhaps second, but, you know, I think they'll be up there, but not quite champions again.
All right, everyone, let's move on now to last year's runners-up, and that was the Central Coast Mariners, of course, sorry. Famously, they blew that 2-0 lead in that grand final, so Graham Arnold's men are back for another shot. They've been perhaps the most consistent side in the A-League. They've made quite a few grand finals now. But still, Neil, the problem is they can get there, but when it comes to winning one, something goes wrong.
It does, and that was the biggest collapse we've probably seen in these parts for quite a while. And while it was a thrilling final, as Mariner supporters, you'd be pretty good at it. And the only thing that's a nice consolation is they've had about 7 months to get over it. So I think at this stage they'll be well focused on the new year. Arnold's brought in some decent signings. Passfield is a solid goalkeeper from obviously the now defunct Fury, and will give Matt Ryan good competition for the number one shirt. Our old friend Michael Baird is
brilliant,
back to
brilliant footballer.
Great footballer, lead the line. And yeah, one player we did lose from Perth was Pellegrino.
Another great
player. I think he's a good player and will fit in well for the Mariners in that particular role as a sort of attacking midfielder, which I felt they lacked at times when Amini was tired and he could only last 60-70 minutes in a game. To have Pellegrino in the squad is useful when defenders are tired. The much maligned Matt Simon to lead the line again. I think Adam Kwasnik is back also. So they've got potential to score goals. I think they have more potential than Brisbane, who we touched on previously. So I think the Mariners will be thereabouts again.
Jack, of course, Patricio Perez and Nick Merge are the major losses for the Mariners. But do you think Graham Arnold has done enough over the winter on the transfer market to give this squad another chance of challenging for success?
I don't think Nicky Merge is that big a loss, to be honest. I don't think he ever really delivered on the promise that he had in his Parramatta Power days. Look, Central Coast Mariners, they're the quiet achievers of the A-League, aren't they? They've never really caused a huge fuss, and they've done extremely well. And in fact, you know, standing at Suncorp Stadium last year when they were 2-0 up in the grand final and sort of turning to the guys around me and saying, they're not bad, this Central Coast team, are they, actually? You know, they might win this year. I think they'll do okay again. You know, they've held on to the key players. Getting Amini back was big. We've mentioned picking up Pellegrino as well. But, you know, importantly, they've held on to guys like Josh Rose, Swanswijk, Bowich. You know, they're all crucial players. They'll stay tight and they'll be there or thereabouts. So I reckon they'll be around about the top four again.
Newton, the Central Coast have always dominated against our boys, the Perth Glory.
Yeah.
It's a hoodoo that the Glory just can't seem to get over.
Yep.
Do you see it continuing this year?
I mean, you'd really want to save that for previewing the game. I think this time round we might, you know, tentatively going to say I think we have a better team than them. I think we've made some good signings.
But what I meant to say was not the Glory hoodoo overall, but do you tend to see the Central Coast being right up there again this year?
I mean, other teams around them have strengthened quite a bit, so I think they'll be around the finals, but I don't think they'll do quite as well as they did last year. I also think we should touch on Bernie Ibisiebe. He was very impressive when he came on in the final, and he's a good young player coming through, and he'll be a handful. And so yeah, I think they'll have a good season, but I do think that the teams around them, you know, the likes of Melbourne, Sydney, have strengthened, and they'll struggle to replicate that, and we'll beat them like 5-0.
All right, guys, round the panel again for final letter predictions for the Central Coast Mariners. Neil?
Yeah, I've got Central Coast to go third. I think they'll do well. Finals football and thereabouts pushing, I'd say, for top two until the last few weeks.
Newton?
Fifth? Yeah.
Interesting one. And Jack?
Fourth for me.
All right, guys, brilliant. Now let's move on to Adelaide United. Another pretty consistent performer throughout the history of the A-League, apart from one or two seasons there, Newton. Couple of grand finals.
Yep.
We know what the philosophy of this sort of side is. It's about true grit and determination. Rinnie Coolen in for his second season in charge. Now, he's been busy in the transfer market, but on the other side of the coin, Adelaide United, another side, Neil, who've lost a lot throughout the off-season.
They have, but they've also brought in a lot of quality. they've signed a couple of players with Socceroos experience, and I think that will stand them to good stead throughout the year. You also have to look at Sergio van Dijk, who's still, for me, the premier goal scorer in the league. The fact that they've been able to find a partner for him in Bruce Gite, who, along with Shane Smale, scored goals for Gold Coast during their spell there. So I think if that partnership can be forged, it'll be a very, very good one. The problem for me is that they've lost a lot of width and pace. Lecky's a big loss, and he was instrumental in their forward play last year. So they've brought in Vidicic, very, very good player, brought in a couple of defenders. So I think Adelaide can expect a better year this year and should be definitely pushing the top sides.
Do you echo the sentiments there of Neil Newton?
Yeah, I think they've brought in some pretty decent players, and I think Jete along with Van Dijk's going to be a very dangerous partnership. And I think they should do pretty well. Caravella as well, it's a good signing.
Jack, what do you make of the ins and outs for Adelaide United? They've sort of balanced each other out, haven't they? Do you think they can press again for a significant challenge this season?
Look, it has been in and out. I wrote the preview for Adelaide United on the Football Site website, and I mentioned sort of in the blurb that the pre-match handshakes will genuinely be the squad introducing themselves to each other. The big losses, Travis Dodd, Matthew Lecky, Marcos Flores, they're big names and fantastic players. And look, I think Caravella is a very good pickup. A front two of Sergio van Dijk and Bruce Gite. No defence in the A-League is going to look forward to playing against those guys. However, I don't think that they've brought in the quality that matches up to what left, and I think that might just mean that they fall a bit short this season.
All right, guys, going around the panel for some ladder predictions. Neil?
Well, I obviously don't think they're going to fall very much, very short, so I've put them in second spot.
Newton?
Yeah, me too.
Second. And Jack, what do you reckon?
I've put them down at fifth.
Fifth, all right, that's an interesting change from the boys here on the panel. All right.
Yep, going to mix it up.
All right, let's move on to Gold Coast United. Now, this is the side many people expecting maybe might fall in season 2011-12. We'll go to Jack a bit later on because he is the expert on the Gold Coast United. He's up there, of course. But, Neil, what do you see for Miron Blyberg's men? Because he likes to talk the talk, Miron. And do you think this season his team will walk the walk?
Oh, I think that if there was relegation, they'd be contenders. It is too many big outs. They've lost essentially the spine of a team. Too many good players. Van den Brink, Smelt, Kalina. These sort of players are not easily replaced. And to be honest, they haven't. They've brought in a lot of unknowns. It's going to be a difficult year for Gold Coast. And I think they reached the dizzy heights of fourth last year, played finals football. But I really think that's as good as it's going to get.
Newton,
yep.
Gold Coast United, they came in big in their first couple of seasons. Yep. Big things were expected of them.
Mm.
Now it looks like maybe a couple of difficult seasons down there at Skilled Park.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost probably too many players. They're not getting the crowd there even to act as kind of a 12th man when things get pretty tough. I think they're going to struggle. I see they brought in that Richters guy. Didn't he like top score at an under-17 Euro a few years ago or something?
Yeah, he was a promising youngster, all right. And
then he went to Blackburn and did nothing. England.
No, absolutely. He'd promised a lot. He was one of the young guys that was supposed to be the next big thing, but has ended up at Gold Coast United via Wellington.
Yeah.
So. All right, Jack, well, you're one of the best qualified to speak on Gold Coast United. What do you think will happen up there this season, mate?
Look, the great shame about Gold Coast this year is that, it's taken them, after 3 years, they're finally doing some work in the community and trying to be seen as the Gold Coast club rather than Clive Palmer's club that plays on the Gold Coast. And I think the crowds will improve ever so slightly. But unfortunately, they're doing that at a time when they're not going to have the team that's going to go out there and win week in, week out that the Gold Coast can get behind. Big losses, the likes of Shane Smelt is, I'm a massive fan. Anyone who listens to the Football Sack podcast will know that. Bruce Gite, as we have already mentioned. Jason Kalina is a big one as well. Yes, they've brought in some quality. I think Richters will be a success this year, but I just think some good young players, they'll be great to watch. I think there's a few in that squad this season who will go on to play for the Socceroos in years to come, so there's a few names to remember, James Brown, Chris Harold and co. However, I think that they're going to be making up the numbers in the league this year.
All right, let's go get some ladder predictions. Neil, we'll start with you again.
Yeah, I've gone for ninth.
Newton?
Eighth.
And Jack?
Eighth for me.
All right. Okay, then, a disappointing, well, a troublesome season coming up for Gold Coast, according to the panel here. Mm. Our next side need no introduction, of course, the Melbourne Victory.
Yep.
And we know what they've done in the off-season and who they've brought in, guys.
Who? What? Did I miss something?
A few people saying at the moment by how many points it's going to be by and by how much.
Mm.
Guys, Melbourne Victory season 2011-12. Neil, we'll start with you. The expectations will be significant. They'll be big. Do you expect them to be able to shoulder that burden?
Well, for me, the key for Melbourne Victory season, it all rests on the shoulders of one man, and it's not who you might think. For me, Victory season rests in the very unsafe hands of Tando Valafi. Mm. Victory, for me, can score as many goals as they want, but if they've got a dodgy keeper, they're going to concede at the other end. And they don't come much dodgier in the A-League than Tando Valafi, who we've seen plenty of times firsthand at Perth Glory.
Yep.
He has a tendency to do the crazy. He can pull off some superb saves.
He's a good shot stopper.
Very good shot stopper. Kicking, commanding his area, catching, awful. So I think Victory can buy Harry Kewell, they can have Carlos Hernandez, they can do whatever they like, but if shots are raining in on them at the other end and Valafi's is screwing up on a regular basis, well then that's going to cost them a few goals a season and could ultimately see them drop points that doesn't give them the title that they're so greatly coveting as we've seen.
Newton, just on Tando Valafi there,
yeah,
a couple of disappointing games for Glory and maybe
a couple?
Even, well, I've heard some fans saying he even cost us a home final, I think, due to a couple of errors back a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
But just looking at that Melbourne Victory attack and the options in the arsenal of Mehmet Jurakovic are simply incredible. Of course, we knew about Thompson, we knew about Allsop and Pondoljak.
Yes.
Now we add Solorzano and Hazza to the mix.
Hazza, yep.
It's just a delightful combination, isn't it?
It's, I'm struggling to go past them for the title. I've bought into the hype. I'm caught right up in Harry Kewell mania, and I'm looking forward to seeing him in the league and seeing him just, you know, rampage through every team in the league easily.
You reckon, Newton?
Yeah.
Jack, do you echo the sentiments there of Newton? Does it seem to be all Melbourne Victory this season, or do you think maybe there are one or two weaknesses like Neil mentioned in that side?
Look, I think they are the champions in waiting. I think that when you look at their squad, they have to be the champions in waiting. The only thing that I would say, and I agree with Neil, I think they're going to have to score two or three goals a game to guarantee 3 points. Mm. And that is going to be the test for them that will decide whether they storm the league and win the league and championship double, or you know, find themselves having to win a few of their last few games to make sure that they're playing a home final or something like that.
All right, guys. Well, they should keep 11 players on the field at least. Kevin Muscat, of course, retired, so that might be...
it's good for shins all around the A-League.
Yeah, interesting point there, Newton. All right, going around the panel now for our predictions for the Melbourne Victory. Neil, what do you think?
Great side. A lot of players complementing each other. One player we did mention that I think is a really good signing and one for the future is Marco Reyes, who's come in from Wellington Phoenix, and he's a very exciting young talent. So if they can integrate players like that into the side, there's no reason why they won't finish top, and that's where I've put them.
Newton, do you agree?
Top of the league and having a laugh.
All right, that wraps up our part one of our A-League preview podcast. The first five teams are down. Stick around, we'll be back with part two next. Welcome back, everybody, to this special A-League preview podcast, a collaboration between the Football Sack, Backpage Football, and That Was a Goal. We've gone through the first five teams with the boys here on the panel, and now we'll look to the next five. And first of all, we're going to go to Wellington Phoenix, guys.
Yes.
And most people, of course, predicting a very difficult season coming up from the Phoenix. They've been challenges, you might say, in the last couple of years, but Ricky Herbert, Neil, has a much more difficult task on his hands this season.
Yeah, very difficult task. The squad is very, very poor. And they've also had some problems with injuries in the past few weeks. They signed Lucas Pantelis, who on paper is a great signing, but he's done his knee and will be out for about 4 to 6 weeks. Miran Pavlovic broke his arm in a practice match, so he's gone for a couple of months. They've re-signed Nicky Ward, who is a decent player on his day, but he may have to carry a heavy load with Wellington this year. Now, a midfield of Ward and Tim Brown is, to me, is good because I like Tim Brown. He's a very good player and gets amongst the goals as well. But I don't think there's enough around them to trouble any of the decent positions in the league. It was interesting to see them sign 37-year-old Tony Warner, who people may remember from his Liverpool days in the Premier League, and he's done the rounds, and he's now as a backup to the equally evergreen Mark Paston. So they lost Vukovic, which was definitely a bad loss in terms of the goalkeeping position. I don't think there's much to write home about at all for Wellington this year.
Newton, one other player they've brought in is Jimmy Downey, who we saw at Glory for a couple of seasons.
That's right.
He was mainly disappointing overall. He had the pace,
yes,
but just struggled to consistently perform.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a player who can run really, 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 really fast, and that's about it, you know, they've that's a great signing. But really, if you need a footballer, he can't cross, can't shoot. He just runs really fast, and yeah, I wouldn't really be too excited about his signing at all.
Yep. Jack, Paul Eiffel, there'll be a lot of pressure on his shoulders this season as it looks to be a difficult year for Wellington.
Oh, certainly. Look, he was fantastic last year. I'm not sort of making massive shockwaves by saying that, but for me, Wellington's squad isn't big enough or good enough to cause enough problems. I genuinely think that they will be cellar dwellers this year, and I can't see them causing too many problems, certainly away from home. Obviously the cake tin in Wellington is never an easy place to go, but I think this season they'll probably be more to do with just the weather being unpleasant than the team that you're going to be facing there.
All right, guys, going around the panel again for a final prediction on Wellington. And Neil, struggling?
Yeah, very much so. I believe Paul Eiffel's contract expires around late October, November, so if it's not renewed, they've lost their most exciting player. So I have Wellington to finish dead last.
Newton, do you agree?
No, I've actually got them seventh.
Seventh?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to struggle this year, and I think the Ricky Herbert factor is something you can't really overlook, because look what he did at the World Cup with a pretty average team. They went out unbeaten. And, decent coach. And players, they haven't lost. There hasn't been that many massive outgoings. Eiffel's still a great player. Ward, if he decides to show up, it's going to be a good signing. And I think I think Gold Coast are going to struggle more. And, Newcastle as well. So, I'd put them seventh.
Jack, where do you sit with Wellington on the table? Where do you think they might finish, mate?
I think they're going to be the strongest team in the league this year, boys. They're going to be holding everyone else above them.
He means last.
All right, moving on now to the Newcastle Jets, guys. And another very interesting, proposition here, because their big signing is gone for the year. So that's a massive blow, of course. Jason Kolina, that is, before the season even starts, he's gone for the year. They will miss him big time. Neil, is there enough cover in that squad to make up for Kolina's loss?
No, definitely not. It's massive blow. To lose your marquee signing to an injury that debilitating is huge, especially when there's no time left until the season starts to find a decent replacement. So I think it's a massive blow. Everything off the field has been going great for the Jets, with the membership prices and the walk-up prices. They're fantastic, and there's plenty of intrigue there for supporters, and they can go along and go and get a cheap game of football and go to every game for the year for next to nothing. The problem is, if they get there and there's nobody worth watching, well, are they going to come back? So for me, Newcastle will struggle. I don't think they've got enough in the squad. They signed, I like Chris Payne, who they've brought in. He was good at the Fury. Good young
right
player.
Sydney. My lasting memory is him beating, I think, most of the Glory defence and then putting a wide from about 3 yards. Yeah, he's all right.
No, I like Chris Payne, and I think he'd be a decent addition to any squad. But it'll be, again, shouldering the burden for Newcastle. They've lost big Lubo as well.
Mm-hmm.
A loss to any defence. So it's just a case of picking up the pieces and can they put together a squad? I don't think they can. They've lost Bridges. You can actually name more players that they've lost than they've brought in. And for me, that's an indictment of how their season's going to go.
Newton, we know Lubo Milicevic pretty well.
Yep.
Significant loss that for Newcastle, of course.
Definitely.
What Lelubo brings a lot to a squad, not just on the field but off it, his character and his personality.
Definitely.
How do you think the Jets will cope without Big Lubo this year?
You know, Lubo, great defender, good organiser, and he's great at bringing the ball out of defence as well. And I think he's a massive loss, but they've lost a lot of players, and just their preparation is going to be completely destroyed by losing Kolina now. And I think they are really, really going to struggle.
Jack, a lot of responsibility will rest now with Ben Kantorovsky to carry that squad because of the sheer volume of players they've lost. What do you think might happen this season for Newcastle?
Look, I think the loss of Jason Kolina is the loss of two or three spots on the league and possibly the loss of a finals appearance. You know, I tipped Newcastle to be a finals presence a few weeks ago. You know, they're riding a really great wave there at the moment. Obviously, everything to do with Tinkler. The huge membership numbers they're going to have. It's going to be a great atmosphere at their ground. But like Neil says, I hope that they've got a good product to keep those fans happy. I think that, you know, the goodwill wave will carry them so far. I don't think their squad is as bad as a lot of people are saying it is. I think they'll hold together okay. I think they'll only just miss out in the finals.
All right. Having said that, guys, ladder predictions now, again with Neil.
I've got them to finish 8th.
Got them down the bottom.
Down the bottom. Wooden spoon is Newton.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
All right. Jack, what do you think?
I think they might just finish 7th, probably by a point or even miss out just on goal difference.
All right. Guys, let's turn our attention now to the Melbourne Heart. Now, this represents another very interesting proposition because they've lost, of course, Keyman, Aloisi and Skoko have both retired, and the likes of Seabon and Bishop are gone, but they've brought in significantly, Neil, particularly in the attacking area, and that's in the form of Mate Jiganjic and David Williams.
Yeah, Williams is a great signing. Tears defences to shreds with his pace, can hit a ball pretty well. And I think they've also brought in Fred, the ex-Victory player, who's coming in to captain the side, which is a bit strange that they took it off Colosimo and has only added fuel to the fire, that he won't be around for too much longer. But they have got a lot of... The big difference between this year and last year is they actually have a bit of pace. And, you know, we might see a burst over 5 yards as opposed to a gentle stroll. Jiganjic is the first player to cross the city, going from Victory straight to Hart. So it'll be interesting to see how he's received when the two sides meet. But Hart have recruited well. I don't think they'll be pushing... Well, they won't get to the finals for me. They may put in a challenge, but ultimately I think they'll fall short this year.
Newton, it might work in reverse this year for the Melbourne Heart because last year, of course, they were the new team, the new boys in town. Everyone expected them. Some were tipping them for the championship.
Yeah.
Second season now, the complete opposite. Some thinking they'll struggle. That might work in their favour.
No, I think they'll struggle. So, no.
Nothing about the Melbourne Heart tickles your fancy. Not even the signing of Fred Newton, who, of course, dominated the A-League when he was here with Victory.
The league's changed. You know, it's a bit better now. And, you know, you can sign David Williams, but he was at a team that just... you know, finished right down the bottom. So, you know, I don't think they're going to do very well.
Jack, where do you think the Melbourne Heart will finish this year, mate? They've got a lot of attacking options there, of course, with the signings they've brought in, but the experience that they've lost, do you think they can counteract?
I think they can counteract. I think that the departures of Aloisi and Skoko and Ko aren't a bad thing because, as Neil says, you know, they played so slowly last year that sides were just able to organise themselves and be too hard to break down. I think that the addition of guys like Jiganjic and David Williams will really make them a threat. If Fred can play balls in for those guys and they can counter-attack well, you know, I think that might catch a few teams out. Unfortunately, the thing that works against them is they just don't have a big enough squad with enough strength in depth. I think that they've probably got 8 out of a good 11 to make a good team that could compete, but as soon as you start losing guys out of that side, you know, the guys they've got coming in to fill the spots to make up the rest of the team will mean that, you know, they're not really going to compete just yet. Maybe a year too early for them this year, I think.
All right, going around the panel for those final ladder predictions, and Neil?
Yeah, I've got them just falling short of a final spot in 7th.
Newton?
9th.
And Jack?
9th.
All right, so a season of struggle it looks like for the Melbourne Heart, if you believe our experts here. All right, going on to Sydney FC now, guys, of course... the champions twice of this competition, but a very disappointing season last year. I think 3rd from bottom they finished. But one other big name, of course, the second big name to come into the A-League this winter was Brett Emerton, guys.
Yep.
He's looking to reinvigorate that Sydney squad. Neil?
Yeah, for me, he's a better signing than Kuehl, given that I think he still has a few years in him to play at the highest level, and that obviously is the Premier League. He was in the Blackburn first team. He's fit. He's playing at international level. He doesn't have a history of debilitating injuries like Kuehl. And I think it's a good time for Sydney to sign him, because it's gone slightly under the radar in terms of press. Obviously, there has been interest in it given his stature in the game, but Kuehl has taken a lot of the gloss off it, and Emerson has been able to go about his business and get integrated into the club and get integrated into the squad. I think that will stand Sydney to good stead during the season. Overall, they can't do much worse than last year. It was a shocking year for Sydney, and a club of that stature should really be top four. So I think they'll do better this year, as long as Nicky Carroll is able to fire on all cylinders and you know, show the potential and the ability we know he has. But yeah, I think Sydney will do better than last year, definitely.
Newton at the back, Sydney have strengthened through Bishop, of course, and Jamie Coyne. Yeah. I can see you laughing already.
Yeah.
Jamie Coyne, one player that a lot of Glory fans were quite happy to see go, but Sydney have obviously seen some use for him.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think they've... No, it's not a good signing.
No.
He just does crazy, crazy things. Like, he could pass to an opponent striker, and it's just not a great signing for me, no. And, you know, Emerton's a massive signing, but apart from that, Kissel's coming back. That's pretty good. But, I don't think they've strengthened that much more. And last season was really bad. And, I don't know, Levitska struggled. So, I don't know. I'd be saying, Emerton, good boost. But, I don't think they'll be right up there.
How much do you think the signing of Emerton, Jack, will galvanise this Sydney side?
I think Brett Emerson is a fantastic player, and expect him to just, blitz this league this season. I think the important thing about the signing of Emerson is that it takes a lot of pressure off Nicky Carroll. And I think that being the case, don't be surprised at all if we start to see the Nicky Carroll that we all know, he has the ability to be. And for me, the one sign that's gone under the radar that is a huge signing is the return of Carroll Kissel. Mm. That's not been talked up enough. The guy was instrumental in the centre of the park, ran the show when they won the league, leaves, comes back, and barely gets a mention. So I would expect Kissel and Carl and Emerson to be probably the form midfield of the A-League this season. However, what stops them from being up competing for the league for me is I don't know where they're going to score their goals. I just don't think they'll score often enough. I see a season of draws and perhaps just a finals berth just on the fringes.
All right, Neil, where do you think Sydney will finish in season 2011-12?
Definitely better than last year. Fifth spot and making the finals.
Newton?
I've got them down as sixth.
Sixth. And yep. Jack?
Yeah, sixth for me as well.
All right, very interesting points of view there, guys. Let's turn our attention to the final side now in this A-League preview podcast, and that's the Perth Glory. And we've got Neil and Newton here, probably the best qualified to speak about the Glory and what sort of season they're going to have this year, because the fans, Newton, the patience is running thin, guys.
Yep.
And a lot of players have been brought in, 11 have been brought in, so there's a lot of new faces in the squad. They've had a lot of time to gel.
Yeah.
How do you think we'll see it going, guys?
You know what? Neil's wearing a Perth Glory shirt. I'll let him start. No bias, Neil. Jeez.
None whatsoever, no. No, I think this is a massive year for Glory. Make no mistake about it. It's been terrible. Worst history in the A-League up until now. It's been pretty embarrassing. Last year was a farce for the middle part of the season. I'll admit I bought into the Fowler hype. I thought it was a great signing. I hang my head in shame now. First five or six games we were going to win the grand final and go all the way.
Mm.
Too many games on the trot with nothing, and the crowds reflected that. This year, again, optimistic, but erring on the side of caution. There are some fantastic signings made. Vukovic in goal, Van den Brink at the back, Miller in midfield, Smelts up front. You've got a spine of a team there that is good enough to be top four. Make no mistake about it, definitely. I think Miller's a chance to be player of the year straight off the bat. He's got the pedigree, he's got the ability, and he looks like in the preseason that he's enjoying his football. If you throw in Andrezinho, the loan signing, who looks lively, looks like he can cause defence problems. And Billy Mehmet as well, who looks just like a battering ram of a striker. Smelts look isolated in the first few pre-season games. he's now got a partner up there with him. It'll be interesting to see that, how that affects tactics and formation. But the two have played together before, and in pre-season we've seen them score goals. So definitely exciting times for Glory, but I worry that if the results don't go well in the first few weeks, it'll be back to what we've seen for the last few years, which will just be ultimately disappointment. I hope to be proven wrong, and I think the players are there to do that.
Newton, you've been quite scathing of the Glory, of course.
Always.
On the That Was a Goal podcast.
Pack idiots.
For quite a while.
Yep.
Do you see this season being a turnaround of events? Because we're really hoping for it, aren't we?
Yeah, and you know what I do? Neil didn't mention Travis Dodd. I think he's going to be a great signing as well. Experienced A-League campaigner and just a really solid addition. If Stojowski could find a bit of form, and maybe with the players around him he will, he's a great player. Well, not great, but, you know, very good. And, yeah, I think if he could play himself into form, that'd be good. Burns as a midfield shield with maybe Hughes alongside him, that's, you know, strong spine. And Miller, I think, he's, you know, he's obviously a good player. He's played at Man U, he's played at Celtic. But I think one thing that might work in his favour, he didn't have quite the profile of Fowler, so there won't be all the hype going on, look at this guy, and then, you know, magnifying glass on everything he does. He just, I think, you know, to the casual football fan, he might not be quite as well known, but he's got definite pedigree, and that's going to be huge. And Smeltz is, you know, a great A-League striker, probably the best A-League striker at the moment, in my opinion. And you know, these are very good signings. It's just whether Ferguson's the man to get the most out of them is probably the biggest question. But, I mean, I'm willing to give him a chance. There's no point in, you know, negativity as soon as the season starts. Clean slate. Let's do it. Let's win the league. We won't, but let's do it.
Jack, what's been the view from the East Coast of the Glory ahead of the upcoming season?
Look, you know, this is going to excite all you boys over there because you're going to have someone from the East Coast actually championing Perth Glory's cause. I think this could be the year. I think it's the year that the supporters over there deserve. Look at the squad on paper. You know, only Melbourne Victory can claim to have a better squad on paper. And when you actually look at the balance of a team, you know, you could argue they probably have the best balanced squads in the league. For me, the only thing that probably stops me taking a punt and putting them down as league winners is probably coach. I'm not sure that Ferguson is the man to tactically get them there, but I'd love to be proved wrong. Every single A-League season I've come into it saying that, you know, Perth are going to have a good season, and they always start well, and I tell everyone to watch how well I've picked it, and then they fade away. But look, I really hope that this is the year for Perth.
All right, guys, let's go around the panel again for those final predictions. Yep. Neil?
I have Glory making finals in sixth and then hopefully going all the way.
Newton?
I've got them in at fourth.
Fourth. And yep. Jack?
I have the Glory finishing second in the league.
There we go.
And, you know, when you finish second in the league, you've got teams travelling to Perth to play your finals. And that means that, you know, it'll be in Glory's hands to put their hands on the golden toilet seat.
We hope so.
All right, that wraps up the in-depth analysis of the 10 sides. We'll just go around the panel and get an overall discussion now of some interesting things you think might happen in the league. We'll get your championship predictions, top goal scorers, recap final ladder positions, and anything interesting that might sort of happen.
Well, I think Victory will win the regular season, but finals football, anything can happen. As Jack made a great point, that if people have to travel to Perth, we see it in other codes, teams don't like to do it. So if we can make a bit of a fortress here at NIB Stadium, well, then we may be able to knock off a few teams. Top goal scorer, it's hard to look past Van Dijk again. I think he knows where the net is. He's got an excellent partner up top with him. So if he can get the service, then I think he'll score goals. I've already tipped Lee Miller for player of the year. Extremely biased, but I think he's certainly got the ability and he's an exciting prospect. Flop of the year, I'll say Harry Keel to do a hamstring in the first game. And the one thing that has excited me about the league this year is all the different shirts. It's nice to get rid of Reebok and their monopoly on it, and it all the clubs coming out with different kit suppliers, different looks, different promotions, and it's refreshing. And I think it's exciting for people to go out and buy shirts and polo shirts and T-shirts that aren't just carbon copies of each other, and I like to see that.
I think probably signing of the year, hands down, Jamie Coyne. And I think top goal scorer has got to be Michael Bedd. Can't look past him. Proven A-League goal scorer. And I think those two are going to have big, big seasons. Overall for the league, I'm hoping to see the crowds come back, because especially over here, because it's just depressing. Just for the way, like, we had about, 15,000 for Fowler's first game, and then just things started getting a bit tricky, and they all left. And, you know, these are supposed to be your fans, but they were nowhere to be seen, and it was just hugely disappointing. Yeah, so I think, but definitely keep an eye out on Betting Coin, definitely.
Jack, we'll get you to recap your championship predictions and top goal scorers and all that. And also after that, maybe one or two interesting stories that you think might develop during the season.
I think the champions in the long run will be Melbourne. I think that Shane Smeltz will win the Golden Boot. Mm. I think that Harry Kewell, if he stays fit, will win Player of the Season. And I think that Dario Vidasic will be the biggest flop of the season. In terms of strange stories, well, who knows? Maybe a crowd of 10,000 turns up for Gold Coast United's first match next weekend against the Phoenix.
Well, good luck with that.
All right, guys. Well, that does wrap up our special A-League preview podcast, a collaboration, of course, between the Football Sack, Backpage Football, and That Was a Goal. Jack, who's been on the line from the East Coast, we thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
Neil from Backpage Football, thank you for joining us again in the studio.
Entertaining as always, yep.
And Newton from That Was a Goal, of course.
Yeah.
Big thank you to you for being here as well.
I love you.
All right, everyone. Well, we're hoping for a very big season, of course. It's been billed as the most exciting A-League season in history. Mm. Season 7 is here. The big names have come.
Yep.
We're expecting to see a lot of great things, so get out there and enjoy the games.
Do it.
And hopefully we'll have a bumper A-League season on the cards.
God, I hope so.